Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. This is the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk with news and radio moments as usual, plus a report from last week's Radio and Internet News Conference, the RAIN Summit at the British Museum. But first, some reflections on the extraordinary speech by BBC Director General Tony Hall at the local Radio Gillard Awards.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Now, a few hours before the actual award show in Coventry Cathedral, former station managers, including myself, were convened at Radio Leicester to celebrate the 50th anniversary of BBC Local Radio. Our host, David Holdsworth, teased us with the promise of something very positive and encouraging that would be on its way that evening. But nothing prepared us for the astonishing announcements from the stage at the Gillards. After decades of cuts, consolidations and centralisation, local radio would be free to respond to local conditions, said Tony Hall. It would be for everyone, not just for the over 55s. Out would go the shared evening programme, in would come a new requirement to entertain as well as inform local communities. Now, I've been to a few speeches by BBC bosses in my time. I've seen a few booed, but I've never witnessed a standing ovation, and that's what happened. There was a quite moving outpouring of relief and excitement from a sector which has been used to feeling the pain of BBC policies. So I was disappointed by the hostile reaction from radio commentators like John Myers and Nick Goodman and even our own David Lloyd. Schooled as they are in the dark arts of commercial music radio, where what matters is the accumulation of listening hours, which can be sold to advertisers, they were, I thought, uncharitable in their assessment of the DG's remarks. You can't please everyone, they said. All radio stations have to aim at one demographic sector, and BBC Local Radio is rightly targeted at the elderly. But how, I wonder, do you explain that to the children at the Manchester Arena? Or the young parents of Grenfell Tower? Don't they deserve access to BBC journalism? And isn't BBC Local Radio best judged anyway in terms of its reach rather than its hours? And I say bring back those local folk and brass band shows. The minority faith and community programmes made and presented by volunteers. Shows for young people who might get the local radio habit. The BBC can afford to invest in these audiences. It's not there to compete with targeted commercial stations. It's there to be different. Now, the devil will, of course, be in the detail. Or rather the implementation by some station managers who know the news but don't necessarily understand programming. But I say three cheers for Tony Hall. You'll be interested to hear what Radio 2's Jeremy Vine has to say about all this in a minute. But first, let's meet some of the winners at the Gillards.
Hello, Simon Corns, editor, BBC Radio Derby.
You've won the big one, Station of the Year, Simon. Why did Radio Derby win it? Big competition from, Manchester, London. You know, they've had big years of news.
Very strong competition. We're up against Merseyside and Wiltshire in the Station of the Year category. Both very strong stations. It's just fantastic to have won. We give our all every day, day in, day out. We're strong on journalism, but we're strong on entertainment as well.
That was the thing I wanted to pick up with you, because you and a couple of other people on the stage talked about how you want to be journalists, but you also want to entertain. And I think there was a hint of that in what the DG was saying earlier.
I just think it's so true. I think at the end of the day, people switch on the radio because they want to feel better about themselves and about life in general. And that's got to be part of what we do. If we can give them a laugh, that's not a bad thing. We try and create an atmosphere whereby we're a bunch of people that others, listeners, might want to be part of. They might want to know us. They might think our presenters are the kind of people they want to have a drink with. And you can't fake that. I mean, it really is true. Our presenters really do get on extremely well together. We've got a very strong lineup. And that comes across on air. There really is a great team spirit. We do have a whale of a time.
Simon, what do you make of this idea that Tony Hall was saying earlier about local radio no longer just being for the elderly, but actually being for all local people of any age?
Well, I think it's a very interesting idea. And in a sense, it's one you almost need to give some thought to, because are we saying we're not aiming at any target audience at all? That's quite a tricky one. If we're saying we're all things to all people, that's quite exciting in many ways and quite liberating. But it is challenging because can you really be all things to all people? I think we need to give some serious thought
maybe
to that.
Maybe you can if you don't think of yourself only as a linear radio station, but if you think of yourself as a content provider across multi-platforms.
Well, absolutely, and that's becoming ever more possible. We are thinking more and more like that every day, and so just about with everything we do, we're thinking about social media, we're thinking about how we can interpret this through a different audience. So I think this all chimes rather neatly with the way we've been thinking anyway. And I think actually, yeah, the main reaction is, wow, that's amazing that we're not going to be targeting the over 50s, because that's been part of our mantra for such a very long time. It will take a bit of getting used to and a bit of adjusting to, but it does give us so many opportunities, there's no doubt about it.
Well, congratulations, Radio Derby. And from a man from Nottingham, that means something.
Thanks, Trevor.
Well, I didn't know that one of commercial radio's great names is now on Radio Derby, the station of the year, and here he is.
Hello.
What's it like, Twiggy?
Well, it's really strange because I was in commercial radio all my life. Now I'm on the BBC. I'm 61 years of age. I know I don't look it, but I feel part of a club, you know. I worked in that commercial world for such a long time, and yet in all that time and the success that myself and Joe had with the Joe and Twiggy brand, this is the best job I've ever had. I'm in my home city. I love the people I work with. You know, resort, we could have more, but we don't get more, but we all work together. Everybody pulls together. Everybody gets on. It's like a family, and I know you've heard that cliche before, it's like a family, but it really is like a family. I love getting up at 61. I'm not looking to retire. I'm looking to get up every morning and go in and try and create something that will connect with a listener, that will make their lives different, and my show's about having a little smile, really.
Is there a difference in the atmosphere between the commercial station, which is there to make money for the shareholders, and the BBC station, which is there to please the listeners, or is that too simplistic?
Yeah, you see, I understand the world of commercialism, and I understand the world that they have to earn revenue to survive, and within that you get that pressure of ratings, etc., and you get that in the BBC, but I just don't feel the pressure. The listeners are brilliant. And I've really connected with them. I've only been doing the show, the afternoon show, you know, due to the sad loss of Andy Potter, God bless him, who's a brilliant, brilliant broadcaster. And I'm only there because of what happened to Andy. And you know, they give you such a rush of adrenaline. And they give you that. They give you that, what I used to have when I started in radio, of that wanting, it's like hitting that perfect golf shot. I'm a golfer, and when you hit a golf shot and you hit a bad one, you want to go to the pub.
Yeah.
You don't want to be on the golf course, but you know when you hit that one shot, and it maybe one out of 100, and you hit it well, you want to go back, and that's what working for this lot does, because the listeners make the programme. The listeners of the programme, not me.
Congratulations, Twiggy.
Top man. Have a waffled.
Vanessa Feltz, Radio London, you win awards all the time. Is this just another one, or is there something special about a Gillard?
Something very, very special about a Gillard. I'm absolutely delighted, especially to win on the birthday of 50 years of local radio. It feels very significant, very special, and also on the night that the Director General of the BBC, Tony Hall, seemed to turn into a fairy godmother.
Well, he did, didn't he?
Yes.
And he's talking about local radio being entertaining and going for a broader audience.
And
this
giving
is great,
a bit more money and giving a bit more autonomy and not inflicting a national show in the evening on local radio, which never did seem to make a word of sense. I mean, suddenly it was wonderful. It was as if I felt like I'd scripted what he was saying, but I hadn't.
Now, I know London is obviously the capital, it's the metropolis, but you are uniquely placed to answer this question because you do both. Mm. What is the difference between being on local radio and being on national radio?
Gosh, that's a very difficult question because I do two very different shows.
Yes, you do.
I mean, one's a music show and it's a feel-good show and it's a cosy introduction to the day, and one's the breakfast show, which is political and hard-hitting and news, and I'm not aiming to do the same thing. I suppose the difference is with local radio, it's a very, very intimate relationship. It really is. And I can, you know, I've lived in London all my life. I'm a Londoner through and through. And so I can talk about, you know, the house and the road and the tree and the garden and the local school and college farm and city farm and what it was like in the East End and the rubbish strike and, you know, the long, hot summer of 76 and whatever it is. And it's immediate shorthand, whereas on national radio, there's a marginal, maybe geographical distance.
Well, congratulations, Vanessa.
Thank you very much indeed. That's the presenter's cough, you see. That is the legacy. If I had a cough button, I would press it. But it's lovely to see you. And also, I should thank you for the opportunity. Without you, I never would have got started in local radio at all.
It is true,
or any
isn't
radio.
It is true, yeah. Do you want to tell the story about what you were doing?
You tell it.
We were looking for a presenter for a programme for the Jewish community in London,
right,
which had been called You Don't Have to Be Jewish. Right. And I think you and I sat together and we came up with a title for the show, which they wouldn't let us use. Do you remember?
No.
We thought we'd call it Jews Night.
They were wrong, weren't they?
Yeah, they were wrong.
They were completely wrong.
So we had to call it Jewish London, I think. But that's where it all started.
But I remember I used to call it Jewish London, the Bar Mitzvah of the airwaves.
Yeah.
And I used to end it by saying, don't forget to phone your mother. And I had a caller to my BBC Radio London show this morning, and she reminded me, I'd completely forgotten about this, that I also used to, at the end of the show, say what the time was for lighting the Sabbath candles every week. And she said she could set her clock by me. And as she said it, it all came flooding back. And I remembered I did. And the time to kindle the Sabbath lights this week is.
Fantastic.
I know.
Well done.
Thank you. Take care.
See you
soon.
Kate Squire, editor of BBC Manchester. It's been a good night for you, but on the back of some pretty wretched events you had to cover.
Yeah, we all love winning awards, don't we? But for news and outstanding contribution, we got silver for the breaking news. It's kind of mixed emotions because, as I said up there, you know, you shouldn't be winning awards for that kind of thing because they shouldn't be happening, and 22 people should still be alive and 60 people shouldn't be badly injured. But I am phenomenally proud of my team for that, for all of that. Every single person was absolutely outstanding then, weeks later, now, and will be in the future because these stories go on and on. And I am most excited and delighted for Mike Sweeney, who won Best Mid-Morning. He's an absolute legend. He's an absolute star. It's his year, really, Mike. You know, he's 70 this year, and he's absolutely at the top of his game.
Now, you've got Sweeney on. You've had Stephanie Hurst on. You're a station that wants to entertain. So what Lord Hall was saying earlier about BBC local radio needing to win audience and be a bit, perhaps a bit more attractive and a bit less dour, that must be music to your ears.
It is music to my ears. I think we've been a bit ahead of the game of that at Radio Manchester with people like Sweeney, with Becky, with the kind of breakfast show that we do. So it is music to my ears. You know, we want to win and grow audiences. That's really hard today with everybody doing different
things. Hey, the music's starting, Kate.
But yeah, absolutely. We do news, we do it brilliantly. I think it's personality and it's an entertainment that wins audiences, not necessarily news.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, this is where you should be hearing David Holdsworth, head of BBC English Regions and local radio's Biggest Cheese. He had a huge grin on his face. He was very pleased with Tony Hall's speech, and he gave me a candid interview, which was in marked contrast to some of the rather defensive appearances he's made on this podcast in the past. Clearly, David is delighted with the new freedom that he and his stations have been granted. But you'll have to take my word for it, because the flash mic didn't record our conversation. When I came to load the file later that evening, I got something called an error minus 26 message. All of which means that your reporter f***ed up, so sorry about that. I did have a bit more luck, though, with the co-presenter of the Gillards.
Our host tonight was Jeremy Vine from, what's that station, Radio...
Four. Two,
actually,
okay,
Jeremy.
Right, sorry.
And here you were doing the local radio awards. How did it go for you?
Oh, well, for me, the amazing thing was that Tony Hall, the DG of the BBC, made this speech. And you always expect it's going to be a tough crowd, and they're going to be kind of, oh, hang on a minute, what does this mean for us? And look slightly through narrowed eyes at him. And actually, there was an amazing embrace for what he said. I was trying to get to the bottom of it, but I think it's basically, they've obviously changed this nighttime arrangement, and I think they love going back to their local stations, doing their own bespoke nighttime shows, and also something about the music. Did you understand that?
I completely got that. You know, you on your show managed to do quote-unquote entertainment as well as quote-unquote news.
Yeah.
And what's happened in local radio, which I would argue probably did do that 30 years ago, is it was faced with, well, no, you just have to do news, which meant that a lot of its programming got quite dour.
Well, I think if you spread a lot of speech over a very long time, that is, we know that happens in the pub as well. And we have the great privilege on Radio 2 that if we say, did you accidentally use superglue when you meant to use contact lens solution and are your eyes now glued shut, five people will ring us and say yes. On a local station, you've just got a smaller catchment area, and it's harder to get that key call. And then even if you get it, you can't spin it out for half an hour. So, and I think music's part of our lives. I think music is, to some degree, a presenter's signature. And one of the joys of Radio 2, and I know this is not the case on commercial radio, where a presenter has no discretion, is that if I play, I tried it actually. I thought I'm going to play the Smiths every day, and it took them literally 10 days to notice. And I was very politely asked, I think maybe we've had enough of this now.
I think that was your best week.
Yeah, well, I just thought, what a joy to be on a station where they don't notice that I've gone off-piste for 10 days on the music.
I think what they feel in local radio is that they've been told to broadcast to the elderly, and their music policy has been adjusted in that direction over some decades. Now, some of the managing editors I've just spoken to have said, actually, we're ahead of the curve here. We're moving back towards being a bit more entertaining and defining local as being local for all people, not just, you know, people who are over 50 or over 60. I suppose that's a radio thing, really, isn't it? Because when you're on Radio 2, I don't think you sound like you're broadcasting to a particular demographic in terms of age.
Well, I'm the age of my average listener, and I always slightly dreaded that moment, because when you get older than your average listener, and I'm 52 now, then I think there's trouble coming. But it's very difficult. I do think you have to be able to appeal to all kinds of people of all ages. And I don't really go for this idea that if I play Thin Lizzy, it's going to annoy pensioners. Because let's think about this. That, you know, Don't Believe a Word or The Boys Are Back in Town was 1977. If you were 25 in 1977, you've got to be surely in your 70s now. Is that right? So, and there are definitely people in their 70s who are fans of the Sex Pistols. So the idea that old people listen to Neil Sedaka is nonsense, but also it's not even about that. I like Ed Sheeran, and maybe that's, I got absolutely trounced on Twitter when I said Ed Sheeran had now reached the stage where he could be compared to Marquis Smith of The Fall. And about Fall fans.
Justifiably fine.
Well, Fall fans were disgusted.
Quite right.
It wasn't the criticism I expected. But anyway.
Stick to the news.
But you know, there's an example of, isn't it ridiculous to think, oh, he's somebody 25-year-olds like? Of course, if you're 80, you're going to like his records, you know.
Well, I agree with that, and because I think it does work the other way around, that I think some older people like some younger bands. Yeah. You know, there are people in their 70s like Adele or like Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was very interesting with the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, the One Love concert, how a lot of the response to that came actually from pensioners watching their TVs who were watching it because they were dreadfully upset, and for the first time ever they've been forced to watch a 23-year-old do her thing, and because we did a piece on it saying, what were you bowled over, and they were saying it was absolutely amazing. You know, these are 80 something saying Ariana Grande, and she was amazing in that concert because she had an amazing feel for what had happened. And I think so. I don't really think music is about age. I think Radio 2 functions, and in saying this, I'm probably not towing a corporate line, but there are 500 records that everybody loves, and we just play them in rotation. If Radio 1 start doing that, we're in trouble. I did turn on Radio 1 a while back, and they were playing Hey Jude by the Beatles, and I started to panic.
God.
I was driving the car, and I was starting to panic. I thought, oh, bloody hell, if they've discovered the Beatles, we're in trouble here.
Good to see you again. Congratulations. It was a good event, wasn't it?
Well, it was great, and it just shows how much local radio is doing. And actually, their listeners may be a bit old-fashioned in some ways. Nothing wrong with that. But, God, they're cutting-edge, some of these stations. They're really doing it, you know?
You can read the full list of the Gillard winners at radiotoday.co.uk, where you'll also find links to the blogs I was talking about by John Myers, David Lloyd, Nick Goodman, and others who take a rather more dyspeptic view of Tony Hall's speech. And next week on this podcast, Stu Clarkson will be getting more reaction from the radio industry as a whole. After this, some of the people I met at the Rain Summit.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
RAIN is Kurt Hansen's Radio and Internet News, an American organisation which puts people from radio and from advertising agencies together in a series of what they call networking events. Last week was the European Summit at the British Museum. I met some of the delegates afterwards.
Jimmy Buckland, Wireless Group. I thought it's been a very thought-provoking day, a bit of conflict at times between those who think that radio is fundamentally challenged by digital change and those that see it having a very bright future full of opportunities. But all in all, I think just a really good opportunity to see some really good case studies, examples of what people are doing with digital audio, what people are doing in the advertising space, and really getting you thinking about everything that's happening in the world of digital audio content.
I'm Adam Bowie from BBC World Service Business Development. I'd concur with Jimmy. I think some of the discussions were interesting. We had some lively debate over just how much podcasting goes on in the UK. The answer, according to Rajar, by the way, is 3%, not 2%, not 8%. That's share, reach is different. Some people maybe don't quite understand the difference, but that's another talk for another day. We've had some lively and some challenging thoughts about streaming impact, particularly in some demographics and some countries. This isn't just a UK conference, and just made people think about it. And then, of course, the ongoing impact, I think, of all the voice user interface devices, Alexa. You know, Alexa's probably the most common word we've heard here today. You know, that's benefit for radio, but potentially a threat too.
Jimmy, just coming back to you, where do you think this conference fits into the annual slew of conferences we have now, from Radio Days Europe to Next Radio to the festival? And they do seem to be coming at us thick and fast.
I think one of the relevant points about this event is that there were people here from advertising agencies, there were people here who are engaged in selling audio within a sales environment, you know, as part of their day job. So I think what's really exciting is that we're seeing fantastic growth in digital audio as an advertising format in this country. And this event definitely captured a sense of where that growth's coming from. You know, a really strong set of presentations from the likes of DAX, but also, you know, other people who are engaging, whether in direct sales or programmatic sales of audio, being very creative, using dynamic campaign methods and various exciting things to engage advertisers. I think what we need to see as an industry over the next few years is audio becoming even more of a consideration for agencies as a key format in digital advertising, actually with levels of engagement that most digital ad formats can't even dream of at this point. So there's a lot of opportunities, and I think where this conference stood out for me today was that commercial application.
I'm Mike Wood and I work for Cara.
We were just hearing that this is unusual as a radio conference because it's actually got people from agencies here. What is it that you've got out of today?
I think this is actually the fourth year that I've been to it now, and it's always quite interesting to see what's being done everywhere else. And, you know, it's not just in the UK, but around Europe. And there are lots of things. So, for instance, there was some technology that we were talking about that's been brought in Germany, which inevitably will make its way into the UK. But it's all kind of good things to be able to go and speak to clients about and actually sort of tell them, you know, this is coming up, you could be interested in it. And it's always important for us working on agency side to be seen as being forward-facing and knowing what's going to be happening. So I think it's important to actually, you know, attend things like this.
We were talking on my podcast last week about the rise in radio revenues. Mm-hmm. And Mark Barber from the Radio Centre was saying to me that he thinks that we've crossed over into a world now where the agencies are taking radio a bit more seriously, that it's, if you like, getting a bit more sexy than it used to be. Would that be your experience?
I've lived on various sides of radio. I was in sales a long time ago when nearly every agency had a radio department, and now it's sort of everything kind of went away and they became part of AV departments. And what happened was it was regarded as a lot less sexy because people that spent a lot of their time doing TV, and, you know, radio wasn't really of interest to them. But I think what's happened is that you've got to give a lot of credit to the people that are selling this, like Global and Bauer and, you know, Spotify and Acast and everybody that's involved in all areas of audio that's just really helped push audio, and it really helps push it to clients. You know, they're great coming in to present to people internally, externally. There's a whole bunch of people, the people that sell audio, are really incredibly passionate about it, and I think that's really helped push it, because, you know, that gets clients excited, they can see the benefits. And yeah, it's I've always found it fascinating to work on. I've always loved doing it, and a lot of people that have worked in radio, I think, always love doing it. But yeah, a lot of credit's got to go to the people that actually make the content and sell it.
Trevor, hi there. Jason Bryant, Nation Broadcasting. I thought it was a good day. Really good day. I thought, you know, some interesting people, some interesting analytics about, you know, where the industry's going. Some of it was bleeding obvious and some of it wasn't.
You're one of the smaller radio groups.
Thank you, Trevor.
How do you fit in, do you think, to the national picture now?
I think there's a role for some of the smaller companies to be innovative. You know, we've obviously got a UK sector that's dominated by three players in the BBC, Bauer and Global. So I think, you know, there are a lot of smart people working with smaller companies.
Is there a sense in which the whole kind of transformation into the digital sector of podcasts and online streaming and so on actually could play to your strengths as a more niche broadcaster?
I'm not sure about that, and I'm not sure we're niche. I think everyone's got to be as mainstream as they can. I think there are, you know, certain stations obviously serve certain audiences and are specialist in that. But actually, there's room for, you know, there's a very long tail in UK commercial radio and radio generally. And I think, you know, interesting today, podcasts definitely got a very bright future. You know, that's really taking off this year and will only continue to grow. I think that's an interesting thing to watch. DAB's, you know, only part of the mix. And I think, I'm very excited. I think it's been a good day.
Hi, this is Kurt Hansen. I am the founder and publisher of Rain. And I thought the day was great. We had a fantastic set of speakers and the audience, nice crowd, beautiful venue. You tell me, but I thought it went well.
Well, what's the value for you of coming to London to do this? I mean, you can do these kind of events anywhere in the world. What do you get specifically from a British audience?
Well, we were looking for a home for our European conference. This is supposed to be pan-European. We did our first one 6 years ago in Berlin. Second one was in Brussels. But then the third one in London went so great, we came back, and we keep coming back every year.
How do you rate the health of the American radio industry compared to the British or European industries from your perspective?
It's a little bit worse on a financial basis. Two of the three biggest companies are on the brink of bankruptcy, and that's certainly not the case anywhere else in the world that I know of.
Is that because of mistakes they made, Kurt?
It was just during the financial bubble they closed deals with, you know, multi-billion dollar deals that were good for them at the moment. But they're, you know, all the companies are operating decently. It's just financial overhang on the debt that they owe.
I was quite interested to see some of the presentations this morning talking about how good NPR is at the moment.
Yes, I believe NPR is a surprisingly younger audience compared to a lot of public broadcasters.
Have you any idea why that is?
Well, it's a different kind of animal. It's not a government-owned broadcaster. It's a program service with some government funding that then feeds programming to a lot, you know, hundreds of local radio stations.
I guess one of the things is when you go to the States, you are aware that a lot of the radio stations do sound a bit like streaming services with a lot of adverts, whereas NPR's got real people on it occasionally.
Yeah. Yes.
Is there any truth in that?
How can I say this politely? Yes.
Lee Cornell from Rain, how do you think the day's gone?
I think it's been really successful. I mean, we love coming into the UK. I mean, there's a huge focus on podcasts for a start. And everything
even
is happening
there. Even though there's such a small percentage of take-up.
But see, in the US, it's a significant percentage now. pro rata population. Right behind them is Australia. Significant impact there. And the UK is slower for a different set of reasons. And I think the big thing today is it's given a lot of the folks generally across the media and brand community a bigger insight into what's shaping all of that type of content and what can be potentially done with all of that type of content. And actually, across the layers, from people like your own Jonathan Arendt, right through to people like Mark Mulligan and so forth, and the AdsWiz and Pierre Naguère and all of that, it gives you very different insights on the analytics and everything else that's driving it. So it's what we like to do with Rain as thought leaders in the space.
It's been interesting to me how the radio companies originally were a bit sceptical about podcasts. In fact, they used to say, you know, who needs them?
Yeah.
And yet now the big radio groups are seeing that there's a way of migrating brands into the space.
Yeah. I think if you're a broadcaster anywhere in the world and you're playing with your 168 hours a week, within your usual format constraints that haven't changed much generally, you've got to work out, well, what else can I do to maximise that 168 hours a week? And why does that have to be just linear? Why can't that be layers of fresh talent that we've discovered and fresh content that we've discovered that we can repurpose and put on demand across multiple platforms, and it can be whatever it needs to be. It can be mobile, it can be online, it can be whatever you want it to be. And suddenly you're maximising your hours of the week, if you will, in terms of your business model, but you're building out a huge talent pool in the process and a huge content pool that actually now changes the way you engage layers of your audience, and you actually do start to steal more time. You may steal it from yourself in some cases, but hey, that's not a bad thing either, because if you're moving them around inside your environment, it's better than going off somewhere else.
The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics.
Radio moments still to come, but it's time now for this week's news. Here's Stu Clarkson, starting with a reminder of what happened in Coventry last week.
Thank you, Trevor. Big changes are coming to BBC Local Radio as the Director General announces £10 million of planned cuts won't now go ahead. Speaking at the Gillards, Tony Hall also announced plans to drop the shared evening programme from next summer, and focus will move away from the over 50s as stations get local control to make them more relevant to local audiences around England. We'll have some reaction to this news on next week's Radio Today programme. News UK's Wireless Group has announced 9 new digital stations. Signal 80s, Wave 80s and Pulse 80s will launch in the new year, as well as Total Access, aimed at younger audiences in Stoke, Swansea and West Yorkshire. There'll also be a Scottish Sun 80s, Scottish Sun Hits and Scottish Sun Greatest Hits stations. And before all that, the 4 areas are getting Christmas stations, which are now on air and running until the end of December. Speaking of Christmas, Global and Bauer have launched their festive pop-up stations as well now. Heart Extra Christmas and Magic Christmas are both on the D1 National Multiplex. The BBC is creating an online home for jazz and blues content. BBC Music Jazz has been a digital radio pop-up brand in the past. It'll now become a permanent brand online, offering archive and new content from across the BBC's TV, radio and web jazz output. UKID has gone job title crazy and created 3 new deputy content directors for the group. KLFM's Charles Dennett becomes Deputy Group Content Director, Promotions and Ideas. Tristan Hunkin from Pirate FM is the new Deputy Group Content Director, News. And Spire FM's Martin Stark is now Deputy Group Content Director, Online. As well as that, the existing Deputy Group Content Director, Peter Gordon at Eagle Radio, becomes Senior Deputy Group Content Director, Broadcast Digital Services. Got that? Good. And they all report into the UKID Group Content Director, Dave Cool. Congratulations to Radio City and BBC Radio Merseyside, which have this week both been awarded the Freedom of the City of Liverpool by the Council. Presenters Billy Butler, Pete Price, Linda McDermott and Roger Phillips are also being given the Citizen of Honour Award for their prominent roles in community life in Liverpool over many decades. And well done to all the winners at the recent Gillard Awards and Student Radio Awards. It's clearly all happening in the East Midlands at the moment. The BBC Local Radio Station of the Year for 2017, Radio Derby, and Best Student Station in the Country, Nottingham's URN. You can see the full lists of all the winners from the Gillards and the SRAs at radiotoday.co.uk.
Hey, I'm Josh Collins.
I'm Chris.
I'm Mark Gale.
Hi, I'm Amber Stone.
Hi, I'm Stephen Daly.
I'm Sarah Hughes.
Hi, I'm Matt Shields.
I'm James Martin.
Hello, I'm Graham Torrington, and we're all available for your station today via voicetrackerhub.com.
Need a last-minute show covered?
or have a regular weekend show going?
CHR
Hot AC
Gold.
We've got you covered with top-class talent from around the world.
Search according to formats and budget and contact presenters directly.
Find your remote radio talent today.
VoiceTrackerHub.com.
Radio Moments.
More people are living to be 100, and that must be a relief to the BBC, for Auntie's radio service is 95 this week.
This is 2LO, the London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling. 2LO calling.
2LO Marconi House, London calling. 2LO Marconi House, London.
It was on the 14th of November 1922 that the BBC began its daily radio broadcasts. The early experimental stations were transferred across to the British Broadcasting Company. The first programme at 6 o'clock was a news bulletin with the content supplied by news agencies. Arthur Burrows read it from Marconi's London studio on 2LO. It's reported that Arthur read the bulletin twice, once quickly and once slowly, so listeners could take notes if they wanted to.
This is London calling.
We also had the first BBC shipping forecast, but sadly no sailing by. There were other stations across the country too. The following day we heard Brum's 5IT and 2ZY in Manchester.
I was actually resting from the theatrical world in Manchester when I met an old friend of mine in a very famous drinking house in Manchester who was going out to Metropolitan because of Trafford Park to what he said was one of the most marvellous things in the world. And he took me out there to see this radio business at work, this wireless thing, as he called it.
Victor Smythe reflecting. One of the research engineers involved was Hugh Bell.
Well, as far as we were concerned, it was exciting, to say the least of it. You see, we had equipment there. Nobody knew an awful lot about it. We'd been trying experimental broadcasts for some days before, and we had fairly good reports, some from local people, some from quite a distance. If we got something good, then everybody said, "Ooh, hold it, don't alter anything." And very likely the next night was a washout.
Hugh Bell, as we mark 95 years of BBC Radio. Right, 16 years ago this week, Mark Goodyear ended his famous stint on Radio 1's Top 40 after 7 years.
Highest new entry, number one, Christina Aguilera with Redman. And I suppose now's as good a time as any to paraphrase a famous DJ speech. There have been certain things going on at Radio 1 in the last few years. And they've been very good, really. This is a great place for a music fan to work. It's a great station for music fans to tune into every day. Thanks to all of my colleagues who've committed themselves to some brilliant radio, particularly the current team, Joe Graham and Susanna Wallace and Ben Newmy. And Robbie, thanks, mate. You gave us a great way to go out.
No, I'm getting choked now.
Mate, you don't choke before you sing.
Do you know, but I could tell that you were emotional when I came in about an hour and a half ago.
I tried to be brave, didn't I? You know.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Great.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, spoil that then with this song.
Go on then.
This is Angels.
Now that is the way to go, isn't it? Mark Goodyear's farewell to his Radio 1 Top 40 this week in 2002. He was one of very few presenters to do two stints on the programme. Talking of charts, it's 65 years this week since we got a first number one based on record sales alone, as opposed to sheet music. The first number one from Al Martino, featuring in the top 12 in the New Musical Express. The AM splits were a great chapter in UK radio, and this week in 1988 saw a new addition to the UK fold.
Hazy sunshine and cloud with only a 20% chance of rain. That's a look at the Brunel radio weather. Good morning, I'm David Clargo. Weekday mornings, Monday to Thursday between 4 and 7. And this is Roger Miller, King of the Road.
Trailer for sale.
So what happened at 7 o'clock on this new Brunel radio?
At 7 a.m, Brunel splits two ways. One breakfast programme for Swindon and Wiltshire, hosted by Tony Gillam. Meanwhile, in Bristol, you'll hear Trevor Fry.
I can see it by the look on your face.
But this is the moment of the programme you've all been waiting for. What is happening, I can hear you say. Now then, coming up later on in this hour of the programme, we've got our I Spy competition. Mike Henford will be taking his regular sideways look at the world. Our news comment at 7.30 comes from local businesswoman Susan Buick. And we're off to the Blaze Hamlet at Blaze Castle in Bristol for a quick look at those wonderful thatched cottages. Completing the hour, we've got music from the great Nat King Cole, Trini Lopez, an orchestral piece from Henry Mancini and Dean Martin. But at 7.20 on Brunel Radio, the wonderful Judy Garland.
I'll tell you what, anything that starts with Judy Garland gets my vote. The launch of Brunel Radio, later Brunel Classic Gold, and the first in GWR's chain of Classic Gold stations. This week last year, news from the BBC World Service.
Halkani waa BBC laanta afka Soomaaliga oo aad ka dhageysataan mowjadaha gaagaaban ku FM-yada ee bbcsomali.com.
Dandang tace kira
Yes, this week in 2016, the BBC announced its World Service would launch 11 new language services as a result of the funding boost announced by the UK government. It was the largest growth spurt since the 1940s for overseas programming, and the BBC's Fran Unsworth was asked last year how she knew whether or how anyone would be listening in North Korea.
Well, just first say that it's a service in Korean, which is, of course, available to all Korean speakers, because we don't specifically target countries, we do language services. Having said that, of course, we do believe that there is an opportunity for North Koreans to have access to free and independent impartial information, which we think they deserve, because there's clearly it's a very close country.
Fran Unsworth with her hopes this week last year for the BBC World Service. So with the launch of BBC Radio Lincolnshire 37 years ago...
And for the first time, there's a warm welcome to the programmes of BBC Radio Lincolnshire.
Ba-da-da to Radio Wales 39 years ago.
8.15, good morning Wales.
XFM fined by the Radio Authority for promise of performance breaches 19 years ago.
This is London's 104.9. XFM.
The launch of Planet Rock on the new National Digital Multiplex 18 years ago. And the first Radio Moments review like this one, 6 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments. Thank you, David Lloyd, and all our contributors at the Gillards and the Rain Summit. I'm away for a couple of weeks now, leaving you in the capable hands of Stu Clarkson. I'll be back in December with another round table. This has been a TDC production. Thank you very much for listening. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.